Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Hey, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you here. Today, we're going to dip back into the world of coaching, which I love. We talk to lots of coaches on these shows. And as you know, there is a coach out there somewhere who is adept and who is dedicated to helping you in whatever aspect of your life you think you need help. I've said it before. I'll say it again. The CEO of Google has a coach, talks about him often, says he refers to his coach and talks to him frequently. So my theory is if it's good enough for the CEO of Google, it's good enough for everybody else, including you and me. In any event, you know, we're going to talk about transitions today, transitions in life. They will happen. Whether you ask for them or not, they're going to happen. Like you get married, there's a big transition in you graduate from college. Those you love, you like, you enjoy those. Others you don't like so much. There's an illness in your life or, you know, in your family. Like COVID, for example. Everybody's in transition with COVID. We all find ourselves in a different world. It's been an amazing year. Kathy Washburn is our guest today. She is a life coach specializing in transitions. And she works primarily with cancer survivors and individuals who've gone through a divorce or those in the midst of a career transition, all of which she has experienced herself. So when she talks about something and wants to give you advice on it, you know, she's been there. She's done it. She knows what happens. She says the work she does is universal, and it works for anybody in transition. She's been inspired by her grandfather's words. She was introduced to positive psychology and became certified as a positive psychology life coach. She says she didn't realize how one could actually become suffocated by silence, but she believes we're all one sentence away from just who we want to be. Today, she works with people through very difficult transitions using the power of positive psychology as well as narrative healing. That's the power of someone's story. I must admit, these are things I haven't really heard much about. We haven't talked about this with many people. Certainly the power of positive psychology. I want an explanation on that. She says many people come to her and they say they feel lost. And the truth is, all of us are always between stories. Feeling lost means you're not where you wished you were, but it doesn't mean you don't know where you want to go or who you are. And her work is based on the theory of post-traumatic growth. That is, if people have an understanding of personal strength and support, an appreciation of life and the possibilities of spirituality, there really is a better chance they're going to be able to navigate transition and flourish on the other side. And that's great news. We've become a culture that numbs ourselves when things are uncomfortable, she says, but negative emotions are all there for a reason. We have to be all of ourselves. We have to be connected to our emotions, and we need to have forgiveness for ourselves. Every transition is self-love, and what can we take with us from these experiences? Those are some questions she asks. In any event, it's really a pleasure to have her with us. You're going to find her fascinating. She has a really interesting website that you can refer to find out more about how she works with people. She's been doing this for a long time, folks, 20 years. And she's helped lots and lots of people. So I'd like to bring her on now and welcome her to Close Up. She's here, been here before. She was here, I guess, a week ago. And it's my pleasure to have the first time to talk to her. Again, her name is Kathy Washburn. She's based in Somerville, Massachusetts, where it's a chilly New England day today. So we're sorry for that, Kathy, but cheer up. We're going to make you feel better, okay? Welcome. Nice to have you here. How are you?
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I just want to highlight one thing that you just said. I have not been a life coach for 20 years. I actually just started this a couple of years ago, and that will kind of play into my story.
You know, I know. You're absolutely right. I misquoted there. What I wanted to point out, you had spent 20 years in the financial industry before
I did,
before things happened in your world and you turned to a life coach. And when I say 20 years in the financial industry, I'm thinking you worked at a bank or something like that. Tell me what you let's learn a little about your story. Okay, but tell me a little bit about it.
Yes, I'm happy to share. I actually helped start a financial management firm. We worked mostly with municipal bonds when it started 20 years ago. So I kind of grew up in that company, and I retired from there in 2015. And oddly enough, right after that, my marriage ended. My 25-year marriage ended. And just by way of synchronicity, my two children, my young sons, not young, but they were getting on airplanes, one going to Australia and the other to Spain to study abroad. So in a very short time, my life was in, I say it was shattered. And the pieces of me were all around me. I could see them. Some of them were beautiful. I have beautiful memories. But all of them so sharp, I just didn't even know how to begin to pick them up and put them back together again. So that was the culmination of that 20, 25 years. And people often ask me, like, so who are you, Kathy Washburn? And I think I used to fill that question with a bunch of labels. I was a mom. I was a senior vice president. I was a yoga teacher. I'm a wife. But now I can answer it more simply and say, I am just a human being who is trying every day to be the change that I wish to see in the world. So that's a little bit about me.
You must have been crushed, just crushed. I mean, a huge change. And you talk about transition.
Yeah.
Wow.
What did
you think you were going to do? I mean, you had retired. I guess I'm just guessing right now. Had your marriage fallen apart before you had retired, you may not have retired. Would that be right?
I think my ex-husband wished it was so. We wished I was still working in that lucrative world. But, you know, I went through cancer when I was 34. I'm now 54. I survived stage 4 vulvar cancer, which is a very, at that time, it was a very strange cancer for a young woman to have. It was mostly seen in elderly women, which is why it went undetected in me for so long, but that's another story. But I think it had always weighed on me. I was really good at my job in the financial world. I used to be a municipal bond trader, and I'm also a project manager. So start helping with that new company was, I was really good at it, but I never really felt like I was doing what I was given a second chance to do. You know, it was a very lucrative job, but I just felt like I wasn't touching people the way I was supposed to be doing. So even though I did it for 20 years, there was always kind of this underpinning that there was something more that I should be doing. And then in 2015, I just decided, okay, enough is enough. I'm sick of the commuting. I want to do something different, but I didn't know what it was. I was trying to figure it out. And then my marriage ended. So that just took me on a different path for a little bit.
Wow. Did you, by the way, during this, approaching this transition in your life, did it ever occur to you to talk to a coach to help you in this decision you were making or not?
No. Oddly enough, I think, like you said at the beginning, people just don't think that that's the right thing to do. Even counseling or therapists, people have an aversion to, or there's some stigma to it. I visited Buenos Aires a couple years ago, and everybody sees a therapist in Buenos Aires. And in fact, it's like the highest, the biggest kind of job market is to be a therapist or counselor or coach. But here in America, we don't see that as a thing, but I definitely believe in it now. What happened was Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, now look, you are coaching people going through transitions like you went through yourself. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. What made you decide to become a coach? What was the key that brought you into this arena?
I think, so what happened was when I was kind of in that shattered place, I did a Google search. I don't even know what the exact words were that I used, but up came this program called The Science of Happiness. It was offered by the University of, it's in California. It'll come to me. But
all right. Don't worry about it.
It was taught by a lot of the researchers in this space, and I just logged into it. I signed up. I logged into it, and I spent 3 months learning about the science of happiness, and it was shocking to me for some reason, like understanding some of these core concepts of our individual happiness. So it just was the catalyst, and I couldn't get enough. And then I signed up for this program, and I got a certification in positive psychology. That was a year-long program. And then from there, I went into another program offered by the Whole Being Institute, which was coaching certification. So that was another year. And it was all based on this power that each of us have within us. And realizing that myself, I couldn't get enough of it. And I just feel like it's that thing that everybody should know about, that we should have learned about in fifth grade, you know, it's a superpower, the
wow.
knowing, the knowledge.
You're talking about the power of positive psychology, right?
Yes. And really understanding, you know, taking the time to understand who we are, what makes us tick, and be in more control of your life and the choices that you make thousands of times a day.
Well, your story is really quite stunning and amazing. And obviously when I said, you know, when you coach people who are in transitions, you've been through your share of transitions and you know what you're talking about. Let's talk about how you help people a little bit. And before we do that, give me your definition of positive psychology. What really does it mean? People listen to the words, but they may not understand it. What is it?
In its essence, it's the study of what's good. When I can help clients find the good in themselves, it makes them more available to see options, because positive emotions, they help us broaden our awareness, and which then helps us build resources for when things are challenging and uncomfortable. But priming with positivity, like really helping clients understand what is already good and right inside of them, allows them to make changes or deal with uncomfortableness or have difficult conversations. It starts with understanding that there's already so much good and right inside of us. We're just the society that focuses on instead of what's wrong. Does that make sense? Does that help?
It does make sense. Definitely, it makes sense. You know, I love your website because it really does give a lot of information. And anybody who's having problems, you know, right now, obviously they could benefit from looking at your website and getting inspiration from your story as well as what you do. So, and I'm prompted also to ask you, with COVID, you've been doing this long enough to know that in the beginning you probably worked with people in person. Now you've been forced to do it virtually. Do you find you can be as effective doing it on Zoom and the telephone working with folks as you could sitting down across from someone and talking to them, trying to help them?
I do. At first, I was kind of resistant to it because I am a person that just thrives on human connection. And then I realized that human connection in any form is positive. So if the only way that we could connect was via a Zoom or on the phone, I was okay with that. And people were really just needing connection and a safe place to kind of try to understand what was happening.
Give me an idea of the kinds of clients who come to you and the various things that they're experiencing and they need help for. I mean, just tick off a couple. Are most of the people you work with women, or do you have a share of men as well? Are men willing to call you and talk to you?
Yep. I work with men, women, and I work with people of all ages. I have a small contingent of young people in their 20s. That's really interesting because there's a lot of commonalities in that grouping, and they're looking for career change, and several of them were in careers that they felt they did not choose, that they went to college and got a degree because somebody else wanted them to. Or they were following in the footsteps of family tradition, going to certain colleges. And something about, I don't know if maybe it's their age, you know, they're in their mid-20s, or maybe it was COVID that rattled them a little for them to understand, like, I don't want to be doing this for the long haul. I really want to be doing something else. So that's interesting to me because I think COVID has rattled people in that way, that things are much more meaningful and people want more control of what's going on in their life. So COVID, I think cancer survivors had kind of a leg up on COVID. And by that, I mean, we have already experienced what it means to be an unchanged person in a changed environment or a changed person in an unchanged environment. Either one of those things are uncomfortable. When you survive cancer, you are expected, and there is some personal expectation that you're just going to get back to normal. There is no such thing as normal. You lost normal. That horse left the barn when you heard the words, you have cancer. So you're
really
stepping back. Yeah. When you step back into a world, you're in a different body. You have a different mindset. There's some struggle that for some reason in the medical community, they're much better about it now. I mean, I had cancer 20 years ago. But I think the mindset is similar, where people, they don't want to be a burden on anybody anymore. They just want to get back to normal. But there's a lot of undealt with psychological and physiological effects, long-term effects of cancer treatment. And if we don't deal with that those emotional elements and we try to stuff them, it's like any negative emotion that we try to stuff, it will seep out eventually. It will find its way to the light, sometimes in more illness, sometimes in ending relationships. So these things have to be talked about, and that's what I work with clients a lot. They come to me, cancer survivors in particular. It's strange. Cancer, kind of just like COVID, it rattles you. And so you look at life a little differently and you think, wow, do I want to be in this job that I wasn't really enjoying before cancer? Do I want to slog through that until I retire? Or do I want to stay in a relationship that's really been uncomfortable and not working just because, you know, we see life a little differently after a trauma like that. Life becomes a little more precious, and I think that's what's happened through COVID as well.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. What do you do to help cancer survivors specifically? That helps. I don't know if they never get back to normal, but or the way it was before. What do you do to help them find what is normal for them today?
Yes. So I have had the luxury of science. There's so much science and research in this area. So I have created, I have a community of cancer survivors. It's called Carved by Cancer. And some people find the wording of that offensive. And I want to clarify, I was carved by cancer quite literally and figuratively. But the name for that came from the Michelangelo sculptures called The Slaves, where he left them partially undone because his feeling was that we can all carve away at things and become better versions of ourselves, but it's a constant process. So I just love the image of the carvings, and that we as humans can continue to carve away what doesn't serve us anymore, which is how I use this power of the narrative. But the research that I use is post-traumatic growth. And a lot of people haven't heard of this. We all know of post-traumatic stress. But post-traumatic growth was introduced in 1995 by these researchers, and I always get their first names mixed up, but it's Tedeschi and Calhoun, and they gave us a new perspective on resilience, where we don't just bounce back from a trauma, but we actually bounce forward. We have the potential to bounce forward to an even better version of ourselves. And they highlighted these five elements, which you had listed, that was part of your introduction. One is personal strength. That's basically saying, gosh, I got through that, I can get through anything. Another one is new possibilities, this sense of increased opportunity after a trauma. Another one is support, some shifts in relationships. Another one is gratitude, having a greater sense of appreciation of what is, being more radically present in your life. And the fifth one is an overall sense of purpose or meaning. The research calls it spirituality, but that freaks some people out. It's not religion. It's not spiritual. It's more understanding that there's a more of a purpose and meaning for your life. And then another researcher came on board in 2012, and she said those corporeal elements, those mind elements are great, but how about reconnecting to your body after trauma? And how about creating new habits to support that new body? So these seven elements of post-traumatic growth are the portals of growth that I work through with clients. I do that one-on-one with them and really gauging what one resonates with them and what they can focus on more to start shifting and growing. For some people, that's discovering what their personal strengths are. Like, what are they good at? What's already good and right inside of them? And we can spend weeks on that. We talk about old stories that they're ready to let go of, stories that they've been living under that just don't fit anymore. Or we can spend time on reconnecting to the body. People are after cancer. There's a lot of cancers that affect our sexuality, and people never had time to just grieve the loss of that part of their body or that functionality. So just taking them through that process. So those post-traumatic growth elements, I use them as portals of growth when I work with clients, and that's cancer survivors or any other person in transition. Those elements will help kind of bridge over and understand. You go from how I became who I am to who I'm becoming. So that who I'm becoming, the bridge to that are these post-traumatic growth elements.
That's an amazing story. How long does this transition typically take? And I know it varies, but give me an idea.
It varies. I can say with 100% confidence, you can learn something new about yourself in 15 minutes and feel better. You can also spend a whole year diving it. Like the Carved by Cancer program is a nine month program where we spend one whole month on each one of those elements. I think to answer your question really though, personal growth is endless. It should never stop. Dr. Rick Hansen has this great illustration of this where, you know, we experience highs and lows. You said that at the beginning. You know, some of them are of our choosing, and most of the ones that we choose are positive. You know, you get married, you get promoted, you buy a new car. So if you think of those as like these up, these spikes up on a chart, and then there's the down, you know, the down things, the ones that we don't choose. Maybe you lose a job. You lose a family member, you end a relationship. But life is about those ups and downs, those constant ups and downs, and really living those moments, like not trying to ignore the bad or not taking the good for granted, but really living into those moments. The alternative to that growth is a flat line, which most people refer to as your comfort zone. If you just stay in your comfort zone and you're not learning more and you're not willing to, you know, live the big highs and experience the lows, then you're kind of a flat line across. And if you look at that chart in terms of a heart monitor, if you have a flat line, that is not a good sign. You want the ups and downs. I'm not sure if I'm doing a good visual on that. It's much better.
You're doing really great. You're doing good. I'm understanding totally. Do me a favor. We're quickly running out of time here. Give me an example of a success story or two of people that you worked with, and how they emerged after it. Tell me, okay?
You know, I'll give you a simple one. I had a client the other day that was really, really frustrated at work. She was thinking that she had to give up a relationship that she had formed at work and kind of handed over to this new person that got a promotion that she had wanted and was not chosen for. And she was so disenchanted. And this old story came up of that she is not her work is not acknowledged, that she's overlooked and taken advantage of. And so we talked about what it would look like differently. Like what if you were to, because it was clear to me that she did not want to give this relationship up that she had worked so hard to form. Yes?
You got to wrap it up quick because we're running out of time. How did she emerge?
Okay. So she actually reached out to this person that got the job she wanted and said, I'd like to keep this relationship and I'd like to share the responsibility with you, which was a difficult conversation, and it was well received, and the person was really excited for her to keep that relationship, and they formed kind of a new bond over it. So it was changing her story.
And it worked. Kathy, you're an amazing guest. Listen, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you were here last week. You're here again this week. I haven't pointed it out yet, but I got to do this. Kathy's website is amazing. It's her name, KathyWashburn.net. Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, Washburn.net. If you go to her website, you will learn all about how she functions, how she helps people. And I think if you've been listening carefully, it is pretty obvious she's been through a lot herself and obviously is able to help lots and lots of people. She's got great testimonials. Kathy, you are an amazing lady to listen to. Thank you for explaining your story. I hope you've enjoyed this. I certainly have. You know, you're terrific. You're just terrific. So thank you so much. I'm glad you became a coach. And you're not out there dealing with bonds now, all right? You're doing much more help for people.
I think I am. Thank you so much. Have a sparkling day.
You are welcome. Thank you. Oh, I love that. Have a sparkling day. That goes for you too, folks. I hope you have a sparkling day. I hope you've enjoyed this. I'm Doug Llewellyn. This is Close Up Talk Radio, and we look forward to having you back again. Again, Kathy Washburn at KathyWashburn.com. closeuptalkradio.net. Bye now. Take care. Be safe.